Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, babe. It's what you need, babe. We about to give you more.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letter spills slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in the snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circus. That's why you're nervous and you got a right to be. Cause if somebody would have done that to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be. My sentiments exactly would be history. You know what I'm saying? Eh. My people's in a place left down on
front
two.
Tell me what y'all do. It's time for all of your suggestions. Rock and rolls in your rolling rock. Then your mind to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and rolls in your rolling rock.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's a point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and shot and relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I tap. Count
1, 2,
tell me
what
y'all to do. 3, 4,
it's time for all your suggestions.
Rock and
roll in your rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll in your rolling rock.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on the tablet, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, I thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso, spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace, love, stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace, I need room to think and space, ventilate, but solid as a rock shall not disintegrate, thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate, real, yeah. Yeah, my people's in a place, tell me how to go.
1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all your suggestions. Rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to motivate. Yes, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just sing it out. 1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all your. Rock and roll till you're rolling rock. Then you rock till the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's motivate. And then you're rolling rock and just, yeah.
Hi, I'm Saida Garrett, and you're listening to my girl Tracy L. Bell and Conversations of a Sister on Blog Talk Radio Show. And remember, ghetto is a state of mind. Peace.
Good Wednesday evening, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Miss Tracy L. Bell, and I thank you for tuning in tonight, be it online or by phone, for tonight's conversation. And tonight's conversation is white privilege in America. White privilege in America. I will be entertaining your calls in the studio tonight at 1-917-889-7872. My lines are open if you'd like to share your view. Now, mind you, a lot of my readers, my blog readers, share their views via email. But my lines are open. You can always call me and share your views one-on-one. Anyway, tonight's conversation, white privilege in America. First of all, what is white privilege in America? What is white privilege in America? I've heard it before, and I'm not ashamed to say that even I didn't know that it existed. So this subject was also a wake-up call for me. What is white privilege in America? It is the societal privilege that benefits people beyond what is commonly experienced by non-whites. People under the same social, political, or economic circumstances. That's white privilege in America. And it is commonly not experienced by people who are non-white. White privilege means both obvious and less obvious passive advantages that white people may not recognize they have, which distinguishes them from overt bias or prejudice. So when you don't recognize it, you're basically distinguished from what's obvious to people outside of your race. So these include cultural affirmations of one's own worth, presumed greater social status, and the freedom to move, buy, work, play, and speak freely. So white privilege is having the freedom to move, because you move about the United States without worrying about any type of controversy or worrying about driving while black. You buy, meaning you can walk into a store and not worried about being followed because you're being profiled that you're going to steal. You're able to work, meaning you can advance in the workplace or get another job easily because of your privilege. You're able to play, meaning be carefree, do basically what you like, and to speak freely without being held basically accountable. But the effects can be seen in professional, educational, and personal contexts. But white privilege is hard to see for those who were born with it. It's hard to see for those who have access to power and resources, yet it is very visible for those to whom this privilege was not granted. So meaning when you're not white, it is very visible to you that this privilege was not granted. White privilege is an institutional, rather than personal, set of benefits granted to those who, by race, resemble the people who dominate the powerful positions in our institutions. Now, one of my readers sent me an email, and they were like, well, Barack Obama was president. You know, he sat in a high office. He was in a position to grant, you know, certain privileges to people of color. This is true. But I also think that former President Barack Obama was also sanctioned by the GOP. So there was a lot that he could not accomplish while he was in the White House. Some people beg to differ this point in opinion, but I think that it was very well noted, and it was highly seen during his presidency. So I think that's a big thing, too. And I think that even today, you see a double standard with the current president and the GOP, because he's basically being protected and he's doing what he wants to do. So I think that the comparison, you know, was fair, but it wasn't complete. So that I got to kind of weigh it. For those of you who may be just tuning in, we're talking white privilege in America. White privilege in America. One of the primary privileges that white people have is greater access to power and resources than people of color do. In other words, purely on the basis of our skin color, doors are not open to us that are open to other people. One example being, white people in the United States are 2 to 10 times more likely to get a housing loan than people of color. There's a bank right now that was sued for discriminating against people of color during their loan practices, and a lot of these people were denied mortgages. So I think it took one applicant to complain or even to sue, and this bank now has to award certain privileges of people of color for discriminating in their practicing of giving mortgage loans. So, I mean, white people can count on the fact that this is how white privilege is operated in America. And white people can count on the fact that a nation's history books will erase our experience of history in order to cover up a horrific truth, because truth of the matter is, it is very, very relevant to this very day. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I read all of the emails that I received. My poor assistant was flooded, but we tried to look at everyone. And I want you to know that white privilege has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not whites are good people. They can be, or like all other races, they can be absolute jerks and still have white privileges. So that has nothing to do with it. While people of color can be the most wonderful individuals in the world, still don't have a certain privilege. We just don't. Case in point, Trayvon Martin, a black teen, judged and killed because he was thought of as a thug for simply wearing a hoodie while buying snacks and minding his business. So he was killed by a white man. And we all know the story because it was nationwide. But because of his privilege, he did not serve jail time. And because of his privilege, he still walks free. But yet, you had a crazed white boy walk into a Waffle House near Nashville, Tennessee, kill 5 people, send policemen on a 48-hour manhunt, and he's captured without being killed or harmed. That's white privilege. Throughout American history, white power holders acting on behalf of an entire race have made decisions that have affected white people as a group very differently than groups of color. History is filled with examples of the purposeful construction of a systematic structure that grants privileges to white people and withhold them from others. Prime examples are the writings of the U.S. Constitution, which in 10 articles, it very intentionally confirmed the holdings of black people as slaves and as property. White people's believing that their destiny was to own the land on which we all currently live. That's not true, because the land was required forcibly by removing the native people who had lived here for centuries. Prime example of white privileges is how they broke apart black families during slavery, sending mothers to one place, fathers another, and babies and children yet to someplace else. Also choosing to withhold from African Americans the ability to read so that we could not reproduce any of their culture or function well enough in our literate society to change our status. These are prime examples of white privilege. I mean, the making of politically expedient decisions by many, if not most, white suffragists to align themselves with white Southern men, reassuring them that by giving the vote to women, that it would read white women only. Why? Because at that time, about 90% of the black women lived in the South and were not, by law, able to hold property or even vote. So this assured the continuation of white supremacy, the use of affirmative action to promote opportunities for white women rather than for people of color. These are all examples of white privilege. Privileges are bestowed on whites by the institutions with which they interact solely because of their race, not because they are deserving individuals. That's not what white privilege in America is about. White privilege in America is having a system that works for you, while it may not work for others. And for many years, you may not know this, but for many years it was illegal in Texas for Spanish-speaking children to speak Spanish at school. For many years it was illegal in Texas. So this meant that every individual teacher and principal was required by law to send any child home for speaking his or her own language, whether the teachers and or principals believed in the law or not. So based on the belief that people who lived in the United States should speak English mixed with racial bigotry against Mexicans, the law was passed by a group of individual white legislators who had the institutional power to codify their and their constituents' viewpoint. So they were prejudiced. And they were like, if they speak Spanish, send them home, and we're going to make it a law. Mm-hmm. Once into law, it becomes a part of the way things are. I mean, if you remember when Trayvon Martin was killed, and a lot of people never heard of the Stand Your Ground law. But the Stand Your Ground law came into play because George Zimmerman swore up and down that he had to defend himself. And what did former President Bill Clinton say? Forget marching. Forget fighting for what we know was wrong. Just change the law. It's the law that needs to be changed, because these laws were written to enhance white privilege, not ours. So rather than actively refuse to comply with the law, as individuals, we usually go along, particularly if we think the law doesn't affect us personally. But at some point or another, it does. We participate, intentionally or not, in the purposeful construction of a system that deflates the value of one people's culture while inflating the value of another's. For those of you who may be just tuning in, we're talking white privilege in America. The patterns that were set in history are continued today regarding white privilege in America, not only in the ongoing, pervasive, and systematic discrimination against people of color in housing, healthcare, education, and the judicial systems, but also in the less obvious ways in which people of color are excluded from many white people's day-to-day consciousness. This is why I receive so many emails, because you're not conscious of this privilege. And tonight's show is to bring you into the consciousness of it. I mean, right now, how long would it take you to name 10 white heroes? Yet, could you name 10 women of color, other than people in sports and music, who have made major contributions in our society? I mean, the freedom not to notice our lack of knowledge about people of color is another privilege that is afforded only to white people. How regularly do you see a positive story about an American Indian, an African American, or a Latina on the front page of your newspapers? How often do you see positive stories? Which is why when I saw the news that it was a young black man being heralded as a hero for stopping the Waffle House shooting, I gleamed with pride. Why? Because not only was he Afro-American, but he was fine, well-built, well-built, educated. And look how he appeared at all of his press conferences, suited, because he wanted his presentation to be everything. That's very important, because we don't see positive stories about people of color, and we sure don't see it often. The negative is most often highlighted in the media about people of color. But white people, they have the privilege and the ability to discount the worth of an individual of color, his or her comments and behavior, and to alter his or her future based on their assessments. Mm-hmm. And this is a reality. So tonight's show is to highlight and shed light on a truth and a reality which is often overlooked, and that is white privilege and... Tonight's show, I'm going to say that again, is to highlight and shed light on a truth and a reality which is often overlooked, and that is white privilege in America. And to say that this doesn't exist is racist, because it does. Far too many whites erroneously believe that they don't have to take the issues of racism seriously, while people of color understand the necessity of being able to read the white system, while those who are white are able to live out their lives without ever even knowing what we experience as people of color. They may never understand racism or whiteness as having the luxury or not having the tools to deal with racial situations. And they do have the luxury not to deal with it. They don't have to deal with racial situations. They can overlook it. They can act as if it doesn't even exist. And they can do so without looking competent. Because, see, white people, they know their lives matter, while people of color, we have to scroll the words on the sign, create a hashtag, and launch a whole movement to tell people, non-black people, how black lives matter. So tonight's conversation may be one of the most difficult and painful realities to hold for some of my listeners and readers. And as I touched on the crafting of systematic supremacy of being white and privileged in America, please don't think that this is race baiting, because it is not. Some of you are more comfortable believing that racism just suddenly popped up, and it just popped up full-blown out of nowhere without those who have oppressed us for many years in a system created for you thinking that they had nothing to do with it when they did. Racism just didn't start today, and it didn't start yesterday. It started many, many years ago. But guess what? It's still here, and it is alive and well. So some of you would rather remain unconscious of decisions that reinforce white privilege that are made by a few on behalf of all white people. But that needs to be addressed. And you want to know why I knew it needed to be addressed? Because when the white girl witnessed the arrest of the two black men in a Starbucks the other week, she said, her exact words were, "Being a person of privilege, it's hard to believe things like this still happen in 2018. That's what she said. That's what she said. The white girl that witnessed, and she filmed the two black men being arrested in Starbucks, because she couldn't believe that that still happened in 2018. And she said, being a person privileged, she knew what she was. She knew that she was a person of privilege, but she chose not to ignore the obvious sign in front of her. And that was that white privilege still exists. Because, see, she was sitting there having not purchased anything and having went to the bathroom, just as those men did. But they didn't call the cops on her. But it's like she said, sometimes you don't fully understand or you don't fully believe it until you see it with your own eyes. Her comments alone spoke a multitude of ideologies to me. White privilege in America is alive and well. Trust and believe. So, if we are to truly understand the racial framework of the 21st century, we have to face the unwillingness to understand the patterns of discrimination for what they are. Then we must ask ourselves, how do we participate in not seeing the experiences of people of color that are so very different from white people? We should question our stubbornness to identify class rather than race as the primary determinant of opportunity and experience, particularly when there is so much evidence to the contrary. All you have to do is look around. I thank you, as always, for tuning in. You can check me out on my website for ordering my books and apparel, or even contacting me directly at www.readywriterproductioncompany.com. Feel free to follow us on social media, on Facebook at Conversations of a Sister, on IG at Conversations of a Sister. Join the conversation that's always happening on my blog at conversationsofasister.com. Until next week, stay well, be well, and peace.
I'll run on through.